full of shadows where the truth hides. Rod and Dick are the beacons cutting through the lies. With a mic and a typewriter, they uncover the schemes, bringing light to the darkness, making superior memes. Bugle Weekly, sound the call. Rod and Dick will catch it all. They do the thinking so you are not misled. Credentials matter, enough said. From the streets to the swoops, they dig deep and they pry. No secret too hidden, no mystery too sly. With courage and grit, they fight for the right. In the battle of words, they're the guiding light. Bugle Weekly, sound the call. Rod and Dick will catch it all. They do the thinking so you are not misled. Credentials matter, enough said. Echoes of the bugle ringing through the night. With every revelation they bring wrongs to light. In a sea of deception they're the island of truth. Rod Palmer and Dick Greaser defending all that's good. Bugle Weekly, sound the call. Rod and Dick will catch it all. They do the thinking so you are not misled. Credentials matter, enough said. So tune in each week to the Bugle's brave cry. Rod and Dick on the case, let the truth never die. But come will be defeated, no matter the cost. The bugle is the compass for society that is lost.
Okay, so I think I clicked the record button. I think we're recording. I'm a little bit rusty at this. It's been a long time since I've actually had to produce an episode on my own. Kaylee has decided to run off with some Monero guy and leave us hanging. I think she was a little bit flustered. We had some discussions about our relationship with PodConf. But yeah, anyways, hopefully it doesn't sound that bad. But this episode we are doing without our smoking hot producer Kaylee. And yeah, anyways, welcome to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. This is your co-host Richard Greaser, and I'm pretty stoked. Bitcoin just keeps on hitting all-time highs. It was flirting with 100k the past week. We're almost caught up to Canada. It's going to be a monumental moment in our nation's history when Bitcoin breaches that point. But yeah, how you doing today, Ron?
I'm doing really well. To speak to Haley, I think it's just a phase. I think a lot of people, they get really upset about privacy and not being able to scale, not being able to soft fork, to have covenants and stuff for the, you know, marginalized people to have access to block space. But, you know, she's in her 20s, you know, whatever, like have fun. It's going to suck to miss the bull market, to be with a bunch of Monero conferences, but we hope to get you back. But other than that, yeah, couldn't be more bullish. Everybody's got 100k watch parties with the price, live price feed right on X or right on Noster. Everybody's paying attention. It's awesome. It's exciting. We just have to get over that fucking cell wall. The cell wall is just in our way. What do you think about this damn cell wall?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that still don't think Lynn Alden is hot. And we just have to eviscerate them. I know the stack chainers are, you know, they're stacking the hardest. They're working overtime at work in order to have more income to be able to stack. They know what moment we're in right now. They know this is the bull market, that this time's different. They've been listening to RHR, hearing Marty pontificate about, you know, the differences between this cycle compared to any cycle before. And I think we'll overcome this. I think, you know, the market will show that Lynn Alden is hot.
People are not people have not been paying this close of attention to Bitcoin and this industry and this culture and our podcasts in several years. And it's the eyes of, there's never been more eyes on it. And by golly, did we just really probably miss Peter McCormick, what Bitcoin did? How many people would be watching that podcast this week if when all of them went on there? And she explained to all these people who were just paying attention for the first time, like, she explains the definition of hard money. And like, she explains like how they used to clip, you know, the gold off of gold coins. And like, this is her macro thesis. This is like, this is what the treasury market, like, they hear all this stuff and they see that YouTube video. They see how hot she is. Dude, like, they are going to be smash buying, whether it's into MicroStrategy, the ETF, or spot Bitcoin. They're going to be smash buying. And that sell wall is that of like these hedge funds just trying to make some money and sell at 100K. They're going to be cheer believers and they'll be part of the buy wall. They'll be part of that stack, that buy chain on Twitter.
Yeah. I think that wall will get eviscerated, and there's just so much bullish right. News.
It is not even, it's not even a real wall. It's a spoof. It's a psyop. It is a digital, it's like a pseudo spoof. It's like all the likes and retweets on on Twitter. It's all a pseudo spoof to make you believe that that's what's popular. People think that selling at 100K, not thinking that when Alden is hot, is popular. But it's a pseudo spoof.
Yep.
And it's not like the ice wall in Antarctica. It's not a real wall. Like, we, you know, Shinobi told me privately that we could hard fork around this wall easily and it would work, that people would probably not want to do it. But like, they can't stop us.
Well, there are, I wouldn't necessarily call it a hard fork, but there are people that are actually going around the wall, because they don't want to go on these exchanges. If you go on to peer-to-peer exchanges, you're able to buy Bitcoin at 100K right now. If you don't want to wait to buy it at 100K, you can go on BISC and get that exchange rate
there. Yeah, so that's a good point. So if you actually are not a LARP and you're actually here for the sovereignty and the peer-to-peer, the transacting, like, those people are already paying 100K. They have already gotten to that side, the other side of the big sell wall. I think there's a lot of people who came into Bitcoin in the past, you know, since 2020 at least, and they've been on zero, where they liquidated their retirement account and took the 25% tax penalty at the top, and then they put it on BlockFi to get 8% yield on their Bitcoin, because they were going to find, they didn't want to have a government 401k. They wanted sovereign Bitcoin earning yield on BlockFi. And then that went bankrupt. But these people, they took such a big risk because they cared about the sovereignty. And that got them over. But some of those people have a sell wall. It's like, they've got this point where it's like, I'm going to sell my Bitcoin at this point. But once you get over like that feeling of your own personal sell wall, and you realize that Linolden is hot, yeah, there's just nothing but clear skies after 100K. And we're already on the other side if you want to join us.
Well, speaking of BlockFi, so, if people have to be honest with themselves on whether they're high time preference individuals or low time preference individuals. Like, you have to know that about yourselves. Like, some people, they just struggle with being high time preference individuals. They're just very like short-sighted. They make impulsive decisions. If you're one of those people, maybe you should consider using one of these platforms, whatever the next iteration of Mt. Gox or BlockFi. You see a company that looks a little bit sketchy, Celsius 2.0, maybe there'll be an exchange called Fahrenheit that offers some sort of yield, or maybe even this is something like buying MicroStrategy stock of something. If you're able to identify what's going to be the next BlockFi this time around in this super cycle, because the problem is Bitcoin keeps on going up And like a lot of these high time preference people, they'll take profits at some point. They'll sell their whole stacks at a price way lower than what could potentially be achieved. So if the company that they're custodying their funds with goes bankrupt, and even if they get a smaller amount back in the bankruptcy settlement, it's essentially like a forced hodl for, you know, maybe 10 years.
Right.
And they're going to be really happy because, you know, in those 10 years, that that Bitcoin that they probably would have sold to do some sort of high time preference activity, it's going to be worth a lot of cigarettes, to say the least.
Yeah, totally. And it's like if you buy, you know, on RoboSats or BISC, you're buying the top, but you're buying, you know, higher. I mean, you potentially could go on BISC, you know, and pay $105,000 for a Bitcoin. And then Bitcoin may go down. It may, you know, if the bull market top for the cycle may be 100K. But you have already lowered your time preference because now it's going to take even longer for you to be in the profit, for even to be able to consider selling. So it's like, you can, it's kind of like taking a cold plunge or doing these other really shocking, like really difficult tasks to lower your time preference. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can do that and keep your, you know, it builds your discipline.
Yeah. It's like going to Robert Breedlove Alpha,
right.
Male course. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that are going to be coming into the space that are new. And I think it's important for them, you know, to kind of get the lay of the landscape. You and I were having a conversation the other night, and you were talking about how, you know, coming into like the Bitcoin Twitter and the Bitcoin Noster, it's kind of like coming into a prison yard. You know what I mean? And you got to be right. looking around carefully, you know, trying to figure out the lay of the land and identify the threats. And you're going to want to be able to get into a meme gang right away.
Right. Exactly. When I came in, you get on Bitcoin Twitter and it is the Wild West. People are saying the most non-compliant thing, and they're talking to Harvard economists, credentialed journalists, celebrities. They are just mocking them. They're ridiculing them and just calling them out for scams. And it's like, holy shit, I can't keep up with this. You know, I'm going to tweet something about, you know, my favorite hardware wallet, and somebody's going to call me a scammer. Like, I've got to join a gang. I need protection. So you could join like the Moscow Meme-tards. You could join, this is before Triple Elite Memes. What was it? Moscow Meme-tards. What was the other one? There was, Meme Factory, 58K Gang. Some people would just go, if they had like the same first name, like the Benz, like they kind of had the lines, but you got to find one of those. And you just got to start retweeting each other's memes, and you start to realize like, hey, you can dunk on and you can criticize, and you just follow that. You just follow your gang. You can't be wrong. Yeah.
Well, really important thing to know, if you want to stay out of hot water with which hardware wallet you're shilling, just only shill the ones that are giving you sponsorship money. So like, you know, one of the first things that you should do when you come to the space is you should start a Bitcoin podcast. And when you start a Bitcoin podcast, you should try and cater a hardware wallet company for being a sponsor. And then when they sponsor you, then you shill that one. And then nobody can really, you know, give you too hard of a problem. And then, you know, the sponsor kind of gives you some social protection because they'll use the other people that they sponsor to back you up and give you credibility. So that's kind of like, you know, even with your sponsors that you choose for your podcast, it's kind of like getting a click to protect you. You know what I mean?
Right. And it can be kind of controversial to take a sponsorship from like an exchange or like a Bitcoin company like Swan or River or Relay. But it's when you take one from a hardware wallet, people know that you are pretty legit. Like hardware wallets, or that's not like, oh, you know, get 10% off if you buy Bitcoin from the same KYC company as me. It's like, you're saving your Bitcoin in cold storage with a hardware wallet, and they're sponsoring you. Like, you must be like a fucking cypherpunk Bitcoin podcaster or influencer. So it just the amount of respect that you'll have having like Bitbox or Cold Card or Trezor like in your corner, it's really priceless, honestly. But it does come with a sponsorship money too, so you actually get paid.
I feel like it's really important out of inclusivity that we name all the other ones. So there's like Seed Signer, which doesn't really do sponsorships, but there's a whole clique that you could get in with. There's Foundation, there's Ledger.
In Foundation, they used to, Seth for Privacy used to work for them. So Seth for Privacy worked for Foundation. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's some street cred that you can get. You want to be aligned with people like Seth for Privacy or Bitcoin Q&A, because they, you know, they're the cool guys on the street. But
yeah, and you can't go wrong with the Blockstream Jade. I mean, it was Blockstream. It was Adam Back. I mean, Samson. Hell yeah.
They were in the HBO documentary. So do you want to be, you know, sponsored? There's like kind of different, you know, tiers that you can, like, do you want to be a skater, hang out at the skate park, or do you want to be like a country club snob and hanging out at the country club? You know, you kind of have your choice of which direction you want to go. But yeah, it's you can only really have an exchange sponsorship if you combine it with a hardware wallet, because the problem with having a sponsorship that's just an exchange is that it's not the full step to self-custody. You know what I mean? So if you have the exchange by itself, people can interpret it as you shilling for people to buy Bitcoin and hold it custodially on the exchange, which is not, it's not cool. It's not popular. You know, I know Fred Krueger's trying to make it cool, but, you know, bragging about his wife being at her boyfriend's house all the time is not like a good way to try and be cool on Bitcoin Twitter.
Absolutely not. Yeah, you definitely have to do the full stack. You have to be a full stack podcast sponsor, or you have to have the full stack of podcast sponsors. So you can't just have the exchange. You've got to have the hardware wallet, and you have to find a way to fucking build a synergy between those two, because people really are cool, especially new people. They're really going to be tribal about where they buy their Bitcoin, and they're going to really think that you're a bitch or you're a cuck if you're buying from somewhere else, and they're going to feel the same way about their hardware wallet. But if you can build like a community around people who buy Bitcoin from Relay straight into their Bitbox, like, it is going to be it's going to be like a European Bitcoin conference. It's going to be probably the most popular thing to be a part of at meetups throughout Western Europe.
All right. Think about this stack setup. So, like, if you want to be really cool as a podcaster, you have to have like some variation of Stamp Seed sponsoring you.
Yeah.
Because paper's not, good enough.
Here's a really good example. This is the best example, I think. Our friends in Canada, if you're a cool Canadian Bitcoiner, you buy your Bitcoin at Bull and you withdraw it to a Cold Card. Like, you go to a meetup in Toronto, Bull Bitcoin into a Cold Card, they're going to be buying you Molson's their first day you go to a meetup.
Are you even allowed to use, like, not from a legal perspective, but from a social perspective, to buy any other hardware wallet besides a Cold Card if you're Canadian?
I don't know. I don't think you'd be welcome at the Tim Hortons if you were not using a Cold Card.
I think at the Canadian Bitcoin conference, there's probably people that like try and like, you know, corner people in the alleys, figure out what hardware wallet they are and beat them up. It's kind of like, you know, British like soccer hooligans, you know, policing.
Yeah, right. You show up to the Canadian Bitcoin conference or you show up to Bitcoin Rodeo and somebody senses that you set a transaction that wasn't air gapped, you're probably not going to be seen again. Like, this dude's not air gapped. you have to surround him, kick his ass, run him out of town, yeah. Tar and feather.
Yeah, so like if you're a Canadian, you're not, you don't have a coal cart, you should probably keep that to yourself. I can't believe like a country like that, you know, with a president like Trudeau who cares so much about tolerance allows for like such intolerant actions. Like I feel like, you know, you would be seeing people like Canadians going to prison for, you know, tweeting intolerant things about non-cold card users. But it seems like they let it fly.
Anyway, if you think about like this last 4 years or so, some of the most respected macro, but also like a good fidelity to the protocol itself. Like those podcasters, like the synergy there was like River, you buy River and you do self-custody to an Unchained Capital multi-signature vault.
So I've got a question for you. So like, I think, you know, as Bitcoin continues to win, we're going to see, you know, policing of Bitcoin memes online. There's already policing of political memes online in a lot of these countries, a lot of these Western democracies.
Yeah.
As Alex Gladstein would say.
Yeah.
Where there's due process, there's, you know, very stringent policing of memes. But I just totally forgot where I was going with that train of thought. Wow. It's late Sunday night as we're recording this. It's a bull market. You can't sleep in the bull market. You know what I mean? There's too much news to cover. Too much to be done.
Right.
And
difficulty rate is through the roof right now.
Yeah. I feel like you'd like age with, you know, these cycles too. Like, you know, the first cycle, you don't sleep at all, but like the older you get in Bitcoin years, the more to sleep later on.
I've never met somebody with a time preference equal to that of somebody who bought before 2017. I've never seen somebody with that low a time preference that didn't have gray hair or they were bald.
Well, imagine if you bought Bitcoin for the first time in 2024. And it's your first cycle. Your first cycle is the super cycle.
It's that's pretty exciting, but it's terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, here was the point that I want to talk about. So, you know, there's all this policing of memes, right? This is part of just regulatory clarity coming into space. And like the harder that Bitcoin wins, the more Bitcoiners need to go to prison for non-compliance of various forms. You know what I mean? Because the regulatory clarity is part of winning, right?
So how would, who's going to go? Is there going to be any rhyme or reason to who's going to prison?
So I don't know. I mean, it's a very good question. I think like,
Shinobi thinks that you should like sacrifice, like it's like your duty to go to prison. It's your duty to go to jail.
The thing that Shinobi doesn't understand is like, we can't all go to prison. Like there's not enough spots in prison for us to go to.
It is. I don't even think they let you listen to Bitcoin podcasts in prison. That's a problem. I think that all prisoners should have access. I think it should be part of the rehabilitation program of our federal prisons and our state prisons. To listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week. And I think that if you did that, I think there would the recidivism, the re-offend rate, the problems in our society would drastically decrease.
Well, maybe this could be an initiative that the Bugle starts, which is, you could call it the Orange Cross. You know what I mean? And it's like our job to get materials to prisoners. So like they have care packages, you know, we can get them, like baklavas for Christmas. You know, for Mandrake, we could get them copies of Stack Chain magazine. You know, we could send their kids open dimes and sats cards.
Your question is a little too bearish, because I don't think that people are going to prison this cycle. I think that's the other way around. I think like what I just said, like we can make it part of the program and listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast. If you're sleeping on the street, which is going to be made illegal, you have a tent or, you know, you live in a box on the street, boom, you're going to a center where you're going to have access to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast until you get better. If you are, you know, addicted to fentanyl and you're on the streets, if you're just addicted to painkillers, you're going to go to, you know, a new federal Orange Pilling Center, and you're going to have access to the best Bitcoin podcasts at your disposal. In fact, you're not going to be able to do anything else but sit, you know, sit or walk in the sun, out in the yard, and listen to Bitcoin podcast until you improve. And I think that that is how we're going to improve things. It's not Bitcoiners that are going to jail. It's the people who refuse to adopt Bitcoin standard, who refuse to listen to Bitcoin podcast voluntarily. They're going to be the ones that are going to be going to jail, to rehab, to immigration center camps. Just concentration. You need to be concentrating on Bitcoin podcasts. You need to go to concentration camps and listen to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts.
Well, the thing that's difficult is, like, you know, maybe that's what the future holds for us, but it seems like the harder that we win, the more Bitcoiners keep on going to prison. And it's kind of confusing.
Until he lets Ross out.
It's
like the French Revolution, Bastille Day. We're breaking them out of the prisons.
Yeah, I guess that's like one of the keys that we could do. So, like, if we keep on selecting Bitcoin podcast or listeners and maybe even Bitcoin podcasters someday, Bitcoin plebs to the presidency, they can keep on letting Bitcoiners out of jail faster than they can put them in jail. And that would be pretty exciting. It's like, you know, maybe the next cycle, you know, when Dennis Porter's selected, you know, he'll finally be able to let the samurai guys off the hook, essentially.
Right.
You know, all these people that are, you know, getting chased around by these non-compliant government agencies. So, I mean, like, you know, I think one of the problems with government in general and the way that it's operated for the last little bit is that these politicians, they don't understand consensus like Bitcoiners do. They don't understand game theory. They just don't understand a lot of these very important topics or concepts that should be mandatory for them to understand to be even qualified to be there in their possession or positions. And I think as the politicians become more qualified, like, imagine the difference between, like, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill Republican politician, like, what's that guy's name? Give me
Mitt Romney. Right,
imagine if Mitt Romney was replaced with American HODL. What that would be like?
Well, I think that's happening. I think the old boomers are being replaced, especially in the GOP, with millennials who are, they're tech savvy. They know how to transact adversarially. They listen to Bitcoin podcasts. Like, they're very chauvinistic. They're very proud to pay their taxes. They're very proud to be patriotic and be a part of, you know, like Jason Lowry said, like, we're like having the strongest, or the most hash rate, being able to win the hash wars. And, like, we're making America, we're fixing politics with Bitcoin. And I think we're going to replace, you know, with old typical politicians, like you said, with exactly what I'm talking about, or what you're talking about, which is American HODL. You know, Shane Hazel, some of these, like, these political guys who, it's a totally different Republican Party.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, Trump is appointing people to his administration that, you know, are much more aligned with Bitcoin, but I wouldn't go as far as to call a lot of them Bitcoiners. Now, you came up with your dream cabinet. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, let me find that. It was, this is what Trump's filled out his cabinet with. Yeah, like you said, Bitcoin adjacent. Some of them, they love Bitcoin. They seem to be maximalists. But my pick, you know, if I was picking, it's like almost like fantasy. It's like my the president, obviously, Dennis Porter. The vice president, and I kind of waffled back and forth here, but I went with David Zell from Bitcoin Policy Institute, just because I think if we're going to have the first, like, totally Bitcoiner, you know, White House, like, we want somebody there with some experience. So David Zell's, you know, kind of behind Dennis Porter, and that's the executive. The Secretary of State, nobody knows democracy better than Alex Gladstein. The Secretary of Defense, I mean, of course, Preston Pish, the Apache helicopter pilot, he wrote books. He's like, he knows about value stocks. Like, he's like the kind of guy you want measured. Ryan, the Secretary of Defense. I mean, here we go. The Treasury Secretary, which we can talk about, the one who just stepped down. But we should replace her with Lynn Alden. It would be great to have the first hot Secretary of the Treasury, who just understands macro as well as Lynn Alden. Attorney General, who other than Joe Carlosar. Health and Human Services, Stephen Lubka. Obviously, he knows, you know, more about health than most physicians. The Secretary of Commerce, who better than Fold CEO, Will Reeds. Department of Energy, probably the most brilliant, most knowledgeable person about Bitcoin mining is Harry Sedek. Veterans Affairs, who other than Bitcoin veterans, Mike Hobart. The Press Secretary, I think Natalie Brunel would do great. Secretary of Agriculture could be Ben Justman. He's got, he built a winery in Colorado, which people said was crazy, but he's selling it for Bitcoin. And chairman of the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, who other than Lloyd's cover holder and the co-founder of Anchor Watch, Rob Hamilton. I think I added to it that the chief of staff would be great for Predator.
That is an impressive administration, to say the least. And I imagine our listeners, like, I imagine even if Darth Coyne's listening, he's feeling a little bit of status come out in him. And he's like, wow, if this was our government, it might actually work.
Yeah, it's like, you know, this is our best shot, you know. This is, if any team could do it, it would be those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important, you know, for Bitcoiners to understand. We need to continue to push the envelope. And just because we got a few things that we wanted, it doesn't mean that that's where we stop. Like, we have to learn from the communists, this idea of incrementalism. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where we just continue to inch.
Right.
We continue to push America to be more based.
Right. This is exactly what people mean by gradually, then suddenly. There's got to be a lot of gradually. And sometimes you have to just lean on and trust democracy for the gradually part. And then you get to the suddenly. And then it's like everything's fixed.
Yeah, I mean, when David Bailey or Dennis Porter or Grant McCarthy or David Zell, you know, these individuals, these political figures, these political orange pillars, Samson Mao, I'm sure is like this too. You know, when they walk into a politician's office and they start having the conversation, they don't lead with, you should listen to 40 hours Bitcoin podcast a week. They start with, you should listen to one. And then, you know, after their first Lynn Alden podcast, you know, their mind's blown and they're like, wow, I know so much more about macro than I ever did before. This is like 100 times better than a college degree. Then, you know, that individual, you know, Samson or whoever will say, well, why don't you try 2 hours a week? And they just step it up. And then, you know, next thing you know, the politician's listening to 40 hours Bitcoin podcast a week. They're attending their local meetup. And they're running their own Umbral node.
And look what happened to Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is running BitAxes in his basement. He said at a recent political rally. So it's like, you start to look around and it's like, next thing you know, you're going to send lobbyists to Washington, D.C. and they're going to be trying to orange pill the politicians. And the next thing you know, the politicians will be the ones trying to orange pill vote. The politicians are going to be all over Washington, D.C. looking for anybody who wants to be orange pill or that needs to be orange pill. And that's when you'll know. It's like pretty soon the politicians will be trying to orange pill us. And once you see the politicians trying to orange pill their constituents, that's how you know that hyper-Bitcoinization and Bitcoin standard is here. Like, that's when you don't even have to, you send your kids to school and teachers are trying to orange pill your kids. The curriculum itself, like the school system, is trying to orange pill your kids. Like, that's what we're trying to build here.
Yeah. I look forward to the protests, you know, when parents like try and prevent their kids from being taught about Bitcoin. I think
right, that'll like, yeah, I mean, I've already seen it. People are saying they don't want their first grader to you know their teacher's financial positions, right? But it's like, no, like first kids need to be orange pilled by public schools. They're going to be.
I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of parents that are, you know, upset about what their kids are learning. Like, you know, they're going to believe that Bitcoin should be ossified, and they're not going to want their kids learning about Opcat.
What do you think about, like, you know, once the CIA is trying to orange pill people through Hollywood, like, that's going to be, the movies are going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's been interesting because the movies have been surprisingly, for as important as Bitcoin is, it hasn't really gotten featured in any, a whole lot of pop media.
Kendrick Lamar, the most popular rapper, he just put out a new album on Friday, and it's apparently a banger if you're like that music. And the very first song, he talks about Bitcoin.
Is it on Wavelake?
I have to check. It's definitely not on the charts.
It'd be pretty interesting if an artist like that did their debut song on, or sorry, not debut song, but debut Bitcoin song on Wavelake. Okay, so Kendrick Lamar is talking about Bitcoin. I mean, okay, so like, I kind of want to, I think it's helpful for people if we run through the context of bullish situations. So they're looking at a big sell wall right now. They're waking up, Monday morning, they're looking at this giant sell wall of Bitcoin trying to break through 100K. They might be, you know, looking at the CIA RAND news, you know, seeing all these things about war and, you know, potential bearish, news headlines. I think we need to run through some of the most bullish, ones and, or like scenarios. So there's Trump in the White House. There's Kendrick Lamar did a song that talks about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Marty Bent says this time is different. That's pretty bullish.
Yeah, David Bailey said that Hong Kong might be doing a strategic reserve. Dennis Porter has Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Wyoming introducing bills to create a Bitcoin strategic reserve. One of the candidates for president of Suriname in South America says that she will bring a Bitcoin standard to Suriname. One of the presidential primary candidates for president in Poland, he's apparently been listening to the Bitcoin podcast. He's trying to bring Bitcoin to Poland. He's the hereditary prince of Serbia. The monarchy ended in the 1940s, but he's still part of that old aristocratic family in Serbia. He obviously listens to 40 Hours of Bitcoin podcast per week. If you ever get to hear him, he was just on Walker, his podcast. So the Prince of Serbia is listening to Bitcoin podcast. I mean, it's everywhere.
I'm trying to think of some of my most bullish.
Microsoft, their board of executives is going to listen to Michael Saylor trying to orange pill them about starting their own strategic reserve.
Yeah, I think, well, I just was scrolling through my Twitter to look at my post. I think, like, one of the most bullish things is just
the NFL price. Players are talking about it, too.
The USD... players. Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. But the USDT price is part of the reason why I'm bullish. it's just because the price keeps on going up, and like the price is the signal.
It's about time that the Bitcoin price, like APIs and like apps, showed it in USDT, all of them. Like that should be the standard.
Yeah, I think
if I Google it, it should be the USDT price. It should say 98,205 USDT.
I think we're going to see like some pretty significant economic growth over the next few years. And the reason why is because Bitcoin companies are going to be making more money. And so they're going to be able to sponsor Bitcoin conferences more. They're going to be able to sponsor Bitcoin podcasters more. There's going to be more Bitcoin podcasters because as the price goes up, there's more demand for Bitcoin podcasts. They're going to receive boosts. They're going to go and buy nicer podcast equipment. The people listening to the podcast are going to get rich. And so what they're going to do is they're going to buy nicer headphones to listen to the podcast with. And all of that is just money flowing into the economy, into the supply chains, because to ship those headphones from China to the U.S. or wherever they're made, maybe they'll be U.S.-made high-quality headphones at this point, which would be very bullish for the American economy.
Trump said he wants Bitcoin podcasts made in America. So
yeah,
that means he wants Bitcoin podcast equipment made in America. That's how I translate or interpret that.
Yeah. I mean, we cannot let China dominate the Bitcoin podcast gear landscape. Like, Americans need to be manufacturing their own mics and their own headphones.
Yeah, you can't you can't be a country that has its own, it's sovereign and it's Bitcoin podcasting if you can't make its own podcast equipment. I mean, honestly, there should be, like, if there's a seed signer out there for building your own and using your own open source hardware to make your own podcasting equipment, that is the number one way to be a sovereign podcaster.
Yeah, I mean, this would be something kind of interesting to kind of coincide with the BitAxe. So I don't know how much we've talked about the BitAxe on this show, but, you know, every PodConf show has talked about the BitAxe. And it's essentially this open source mining device. And I could see a very similar project come along for podcast gear. And, you know, we've seen a lot of emphasis on open source development in terms of software, but not as much on the hardware side. So there's ways to open source podcasts, you know, like there's things like Jitsi, there's things like all sorts of stuff, but we need to see it on open source microphone. So yeah, Seed Signer, BitAxe, you know, projects like that would be pretty cool. Yeah, anyways, I think we should transition to the boost. Before we get into that, I did want to say, you know, there's a music video floating around. I'm sure by the time you listen to this, you already saw the music video. But it is the Marty Bent Says This Time Is Different music video, and go check it out. I'll have it posted around all over the place on Stacker News. I forgot what the platform is that you host videos on Noster, but I'll have it on there once I figure that out. I just need Darth Coin to instead of answering my question, he'll send me a guide that he already wrote. So instead of me going to Darth Coin's guides, I message Darth Coin, and then he messages me his guide. It's kind of like I'm using him as a search index of his website. And when I figure that out, I'll have it posted on Noster. But yeah, our first boost of last episode. So the last episode was titled, This is the Bull Market. Our first boost, per usual, is for MissHoddle.420. Man, you can't get rid of her, can you, Ron?
No, apparently not. Podcast groupies are the hardest to get rid of.
Well, this is one of the things that's pretty easy or interesting about Fountain in general and this boosting thing is that if there's somebody that's annoying, their comment's still going to show up there. I guess we have a choice on whether we're going to read it or not.
Right. But
She says, I'm so bullish. Mass adoption's here. I'm going to sleep with Dennis this cycle.
That's kind of crazy, but I actually hope she succeeds because it would be really awesome to be an Eskimo brother with Dennis Porter. How many people get to say they're Eskimo brothers with Dennis Porter?
Well, you and Mr. We All Eat Wood. So, you know, imagine this theoretical circumstance, which, you know, once Bitcoin is fully adopted and hyper-Bitcoinized, the world is hyper-Bitcoinized, you know, Dennis will have to figure out a new thing to crusade for, right? Because he'll have accomplished his goal. I think one of the most dangerous circumstances is, imagine Dennis legalizes polygamy. How many people's wives he would steal? And how many women he would be able to orange pill?
That's why you have to have checks and balances in the government to prevent that site, you know, that type of authoritarian. I don't think Dennis has the authoritarian in him, but, you know, it's like, I think, Svetsky said, it's like, it's a dangerous man is not a harmless man. A dangerous man, or a good man is like a very dangerous man who has the discipline to, you know, keep it all inside and not lash out. And like Dennis Porter is that person. He's got the power, but he's got the ability to put checks and balances on it, because he understands democracy and he cares about it so much.
He's gonna have some sort of kryptonite, and if it's not power, you know. So like people say, absolute power corrupts absolutely, but like
a Bitcoin fixes this.
Yeah, an orange pill podcast listener is essentially immune of being corrupted by power because they're so based.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyways, before we go off on a whole nother, you know, podcast episode, thank you for your boost, Miss Hodlnot. 420. Keep them coming. We'll take your money, even if Rob doesn't think you're hot.
Kind of looks like Janet Yellen. We All Eat. One of our favorite fans. Based us 10,021 sats. Lynn Is So Hot. Siggy Sat Parody. Cucks Galore. Hell yeah, she's hot. I'm glad that We All Eat agrees with that one. Lynn is like such a professional, consummate professional macro Bitcoiner. I don't know if her and We All Eat would ever like really get along. If they hung out in real life, I think he'd probably be too drunk, but I know he tries. He'd shoot his shot.
That'd be an interesting interaction to watch, to say the least. I'd like to see Lynn Alden talking to We All Eat. Cucks Galore. I don't know what that means.
Is that the name of his bowling team?
Maybe he's referring to, you know, people are generally kind of moving towards compliance now that the price is going up, like, and their guy's in office. Maybe that's what he means. I want to call it cucks. I just call it winning. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you,
right.
You can comply if you're winning. You only don't comply if you're losing. I think that's one of the lessons, like, you know.
For sure.
There's, like, people out there, like Larkin Rose, that, like, believe in this idea of, like, principles, but you know, the reality is principles only matter when you're losing,
right?
Because then you can point to the other person and say, hey, you're not following principle,
right? That's like the people who are saying when they're mad at MicroStrategy investors, it's because they're losing, they're getting outperformed on the free and open markets by Saylor's, you know, stock instead of just holding Bitcoin cold storage. So, you know, they're resorting to spouting principles. And that's just one thing you have to remember, is if somebody is, you know, buying MicroStrategy stocks and very proud of it, all the profits they're making, a Bitcoin podcast about principles is just not gonna catch their attention.
Yeah. And I think there's, like, you know, there's multiple lessons to learn from this situation. Like, first of all, I want to say, like, you know, this concept of, you know, only complying when you're winning is foundational in journalism school. They teach you this, like, this is journalism 101, and your first couple lessons, this is what you learn. But I think this is kind of a controversial take, but I think the reason why MicroStrategy stock is going up so much is because Michael Saylor went on so many Bitcoin podcasts, not necessarily because they bought so much Bitcoin.
Interesting. So you'll have to go on the Bitcoin podcast to keep the momentum up.
Like, what other, maybe he doesn't, because the Saylor series is so prolific, it will continue to, you know, be solidified in time. And, like, more and more people are going to go back and listen to that, the more that MicroStrategy stock goes up. So he's kind of, like, planted his flag. Like, he's been doing proof of work, he set his base, and all these other company CEOs need to figure out how can they go on all the Bitcoin podcasts, like, as soon as possible. And I just don't think they're going to be able to catch him or compete.
Yeah.
He's going to be significantly, you know, more attractive to invite to different PodConf events and conferences and stuff like that, because he's like the OG, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, Adam Back's not that interesting to listen to, but he gets invited everywhere and everybody wants to hear him talk, even though he's really boring. But thank you, We All Eat, for the boost. Really appreciate it. Our next boost is from Orange Mart for 5,000 sats. Orange Mart says, listening to podcasts without boosting is stealing, and it's against the law. Yes. Comply with the law. Now that we're winning, you actually have to comply. Like, I know a lot of people were pirating podcasts because they felt like we were losing. But now that we're winning, you have to follow the law and you have to boost the show.
That's right. This is the time to pay your taxes. The next boost is from Matt. 1,001 sats. Damn it. My name when read out loud sounds like a shitty token.
Mine says FOMO.
Okay, FOMO, so yeah, I must be seeing his noise noster name. I think we see different names sometimes. Yeah, that does sound like a shitcoin name.
His noster name is Matt. His handle is FOMOTronic.
Okay,
If you're logged into Fountain, you got your noster connected. You probably see the noster name. Oh,
well, thanks, Matt. It does sound
thanks
like
for the boost.
It does sound like a token.
I think this is like, I don't know. There's other people out there that, like Crypto Cloaks, you know, for example, kind of sounds like some sort of shitcoin, but it's not. I'm trying to think. There's Paul Stork. He's got some sort of shitcoin name in it, his handle, but he actually might be a shitcoiner. Crypto Anarchism, which I think, like, this is a problem with the shitcoiners, you know, is they take cool concepts like cryptography and make them uncool by like trying to like
co-opt make them cringe. Them. Yeah.
Because, like, you know, when you think of crypto, like, you know, you could think of like the early cypherpunks,
right?
Or you could think of Tron,
right? Or Doge.
Doge these days is actually pretty cool. I don't think you can shit on meme coins, but, like, you know, when meme coins are cool, but XRP isn't. You know,
right, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Like, you're still a shitcoiner if you're a meme coiner, but you're a cool shitcoiner. Like, and there's different, like...
You're funny.
You're not a cool shitcoiner if you're, like, into Bitcoin SV or XRP. So there's definitely, like, a lot of people come into space, they're inevitably going to shitcoin, and they kind of have to go through the same process of figuring out which are the cool shitcoiners. Like, the coolest shitcoin to use is Monero.
Of course. You could pretty much get away with that one. People are like, this guy, he's shady.
You don't even need to tell anybody that you're using Monero. Like, this is one of the reasons why it's the cool shitcoin, is because, like, people won't even know you're using it. You know what I mean?
That's true, exactly, yeah. Like, some people want to give us boosts in Monero. It's like, fine, but we're not reading your boosts. Like, that's not... It doesn't go with the ethos of privacy.
Like, you want to go to the meetup, the Bitcoin meetup, but you want to shitcoin, but you don't want the people at the Bitcoin meetup to make fun of you for shitcoining. Just use Monero, and they'll never have any idea.
Right. Thanks. So, Shadrach
for 939 sats. double boosted, two different comments. Someone needs to make a podometer which permanently records your podcast listening hours to the blockchain. Community note, Smokesat parody is 100k USDT. False. Incorrect. Buster. Trying to fact check me. The 1x key on your typewriter will convert the Bitcoin price to sats / Trump token and vice versa. Well, that's interesting. No, actually, it's not 100k. We hit sat cigarette parity before 100k. We're pretty close to it right now. So Bitcoin at the time of recording is 98,218 USDT per coin, according to Stacker News. And we're about 18 sats off from cigarette sat parity. So I just wanted to say, Shadrach, unless there's something wrong with Stacker News' math, you are incorrect. It's not 100k.
Well, let's say, thank you for the boost, Shadrach. You don't have credentials, so don't take, didn't get this one right. Don't take it personally. Is it you were close? You were close. That's important.
Chad, I just want to say real quick, I don't want to leave this on a bad note with Shadrach. Shadrach's out there doing some pretty cool stuff right now, traveling around, seeing things, living a pretty interesting life. And I'm actually a little bit jealous of Shadrach right now.
Oh, yeah. Next one is from our boy Pies. He's got two, one for 420 sats. Let's fucking go. LFG, rocket to the moon. Then his next one is for the 100 sats. Cheers. Two mugs of beer and then five cigarette emojis. Pies is real.
Well, speaking of Shadrach's podometer, I think that one of the coolest features that Fountain could do is just like a boost leaderboard.
Oh, yeah.
So you get like who are the weekly biggest boosters and some metrics on that. And that essentially, like, if you rank on that, you truly are the elite of the elite when it comes to podcast listeners. And I have a feeling that Pies to Plub would be up there, because Pies,
so
if you listen to any of these other intellectual Silk Road podcasts, Pies is like on every one.
Yeah, he is. I see him all the time.
But yeah, we have a few Noster posts.
Yeah, one more 300 sevs from BTC on board. Two lightning emojis.
Where do you see that one? I don't. Oh, okay. Yeah. Hashtag L-Enhance or hashtag CTV. So this person doesn't care. They just want one or the other. They want change.
A soft fork. He just wants a soft fork. He'll take any soft fork you can give him.
BTC board on board definitely would have voted for Obama because they wanted change.
Right. He's like, listen, I don't want to ossify. I don't need the need for you to explain me what your soft fork proposal is. I'll activate it. I want change.
Yeah. I don't care if the change is positive or negative. It just, we know it needs to change.
It's like all the people that they wanted to do Taproot. They didn't know what Taproot was. They were just like, that sounds kind of badass. I like that band Taproot in 2002.
Have you yet to use Taproot in any meaningful way?
I fucked around with some ordinals back in the day. Made some shitty ordinal. I didn't know how to do anything with it after I made it. So it's just, I made like four BRC20s. It's like minted four tokens. It cost me like $12.
Well, I think weren't we sold on this idea that Taproot was gonna like allow for like opening more private Lightning channels?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's what. Well, the only people that did it was Taproot Labs, and they just made USDT stable coins on Lightning. But I think they're private. They probably still have to KYC, so probably not.
Yeah, well, that's like that's like one of the problems when I see, like hardware or like fork proposals. It's like, when the context is change is like, you get sold on an idea and then something else entirely. It's kind of like a mystery. But why don't they just
unintended consequences?
Well, what these developers need to do when they're trying to sell their fork proposal is, instead of like giving solid arguments as to what it is, they just need to say, hey, I came up with this proposal and it's a mystery box, and you'll find out what it is once you implement it.
Yeah, once you activate it, we'll find out what's inside.
Yeah. You ever ordered one of those mystery boxes online?
No, I haven't, but I should. Sounds fun.
I used to watch videos online of people ordering dark web. They would go do like non-compliant Monero or Bitcoin transactions, and then somebody would deliver a box into like some weird obscure place, which then they would have to go find, and then open it up, and then it'd just be a bunch of weird stuff inside. I feel like that's what I expect from the developers going forward. We need a little bit more of a better discussion around these
make Bitcoin like John McCarthy, like make it weird again. Like maybe find a human toe in there. You know what I mean? Like metaphorically. Make it cyberpunk again.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say I feel like the people pushing for Bitcoin development and updates on the protocol level, they're kind of like the Democrats. They're the progressives. They want to see change. They want to push things forward. Right. And the people pushing ossification are actually like the Republicans. They're the conservatives.
Right. They just want to injure you.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, well, thank you everyone for tuning into this edition of the Beagle Weekly. Rod, do you have any announcements or announcements of announcements before we wrap up the show?
No announcements. And no announcements of announcements, but yeah, check out the music video tomorrow. It's going to be really good. I've seen the sneak preview. Yeah, stay bullish.
I think one announcement I want to make is that we will be doing another tournament here relatively soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So look for that. We're doing a tournament. It's been talked about. If you look through our replies, you might be able to find a hint, but I think you're going to like it.
Maybe on next week's show, we'll announce it, or maybe we'll announce that we'll be announcing it on the show after that. We'll have to see, but I'm announcing tonight that we're going to announce at some point in the future that we're doing a tournament before the end of the year.
Oh yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for tuning in.
In a world see ya. Full of shadows where the truth hides, Rod and Dick are the beacons cutting through the lies. With a mic and a typewriter, they uncover the schemes, bringing light to the darkness, making superior means. Bugle Weekly, sound the call. Rod and Dick will catch it all. They do the thinking so you are not misled. Credentials matter, enough said. From the streets to the swoops, they dig deep and they pry. No secret too hidden, no mystery too sly. With courage and grit, they fight for the right. In the battle of words, they're the guiding light. Bugle Weekly, sound the call. Rod and Dick will catch it all. They do the thinking so you are not misled. Credentials matter, enough said. Echoes of the bugle ringing through the night. With every revelation, they bring wrongs to light. In a sea of deception, they're the island of truth. Rod Palmer and Dick Greaser, defending all that's good. Bugle Weekly, sound the call. Rod and Dick will catch it all. They do the thinking so you are not misled. Credentials matter, enough said. So tune in each week to the Bugle's brave cry. Rod and Dick on the case, let the truth never die. What comes will be defeated, no matter the cost. The Bugle is the compass for society that is lost.